Okay, it's Thursday, March 27th, almost the end of March, and I'm here with my good friend, ex-golf partner, Nishadik golf partner, and podcast partner, CJ. How are you today?
I'm feeling good. We're 2 weeks away from opening day here. We just closed the book on our ex-golf season last night with a... the squeaker.
It was close.
CJ. It was close until the first hole.
I believe I made a putt for par on 18.
No, you did not.
I missed that?
No. You had zero pars yesterday, if I recall correctly.
CJ,
you were 13 over.
Let me say this about X-Golf. X-Golf is my client. Each of the stores is run by really great people. I think it's an excellent concept. And I think a lot of people have fun there. It just so happens I am not one of them.
I think you got to take it for what it is. And, I mean, the issue with X-Golf is a great concept. I think it's just really, really difficult to make those simulators stay calibrated, up to speed, keep the bays flat. Because, like, you know, we're playing in a bay where there's just a big divot in the middle of where you hit.
Yeah.
And so you gotta either, like, it takes me like an hour to set up each shot because I'm trying to get the ball like on a flat spot or a high spot instead of a low spot. And then we were noticing yesterday, actually, I hit my 7-iron like 160, it's kind of stock, like in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hit a fade with it, it was going 120, and if I hit a draw with it, it was going 180. On that sim yesterday.
It does seem to favor draws.
So you're hitting your fade, as always, and one, it wasn't really fading. Two, I noticed the RPMs were like close to zero, actually, on the side spin. So it's basically saying that you're hitting a knuckleball.
Yeah, and
it was going, it was like, if you hit too much of a fade, it was basically going nowhere.
So, CJ, I would love to blame the technology, but I think I was just terribly yesterday.
We were also bad. I mean, all that aside, everyone's playing under the same conditions.
Yes.
So,
but, you know, I had noticed it seemed more dramatic yesterday, but because you hit a nice draw, it really does pick up your draw. But, like you said, a couple times I might have shown my fade, but it always made me feel like my ball just went shorter than I thought I'd hit it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, CJ, compare my awful round, and I don't even know what I shot of a 9-hole, so I don't care to know.
It was 13 over.
Wow.
It was six bogeys and three doubles.
So twice in Florida, I shot less than half of that over par, over 18 holes.
Yeah.
I broke 80 twice. CJ,
it's four doubles.
I'm ready to go outside.
Yeah, me too. Well, anyway. earlier that day, I came to Nishadik, and I hit some balls from the nice flat mats we had here. It was great. I was hitting very nice shots.
Yep.
It was very smooth. So I really, it's nice to go to X-Golf and get some swings in, but like it does not translate to real life.
Yeah, it is still, I think that the reason I played decently well in Florida was because we'd been swinging all winter without really more than a week off. And I think that has value. You know, even though you're just hitting into a screen, you're still hitting your shots in anger, you know, because you're trying to win something. So I think that had value. Anyway, it was fun, CJ. We lost to Kenny Gates and Brendan Driscoll, who were so giddy about winning. And I'm like, literally, get a life. But they don't really win anything otherwise, so good for them.
Yeah, I'm happy for them. I think they have a good shot at winning the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Especially
they're peaking at the right time.
Well, yeah, especially because, I mean, it was only like 3 or 4 weeks ago when we passed by Kenny and Driscoll, and Kenny was 18 over for nine. And yesterday he shot like one over.
Well, Kenny's very competitive, and
he's got a great swing.
Brendan is a video game golfer. That's what he is.
I mean, he's hitting it 260 off the tee with his 4-iron.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously it's all juiced. I'm happy for them. I'm happy for them. They want us to come watch him next week. Chances of that?
CJ? It's somewhere around zero.
0.0.
Somewhere close to zero.
All right, CJ, let's go on with other topics.
All right.
I believe you know this, and hopefully it'll happen in the next 2 weeks, but we are finally going to have a plaque for our tournament with all the past winners.
That's great.
It's going to be a nice wooden, you know, one of the traditional ones, and I think we're going to hang it right here in Gary's, right above the cup.
Great.
I think it'll fit right into that little panel right there.
Perfect.
So that'll be nice. all the way through 2024, I guess now, and then we'll have extra panels if the tournament proceeds. CJ, do you have anything you'd like to announce? You don't have to.
Not really. I mean, it's all the 11th season of the McGavick Cup.
Is it no, it's more than that.
Is it?
I think it's number 14.
Oh.
I may be wrong.
We go to the official source, www.mcgavickcup.com.
I think the first winner, wasn't the first winner in 2011? I don't know. I may be wrong. But anyway, that's an update on the plaque. And as a reminder, CJ, I put out, I'll say we, but I did put out a full accounting of where the money's going. What was it?
I have an announcement.
Yeah.
Neshotic Internet is blocking access to McGavickCup.com.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No, that can't be possible.
I'm absolutely dead certain.
No, you could. It could be down. It's been down before.
No.
CJ, they're not going to block access to our tournament.
FortiGuard intrusion prevention access block. You have tried to access a webpage that is in violation of your internet usage policy. Newly observed domain.
You're right.
But I can load it on my phone using cell.
That is unbelievable.
That's the last straw. This is my last shot. This is my last year in a shot. I'm done.
We'll have to look into that.
So 2013.
What the heck is that? To have the rating of the web page reevaluated, I don't think that's done by someone purposely. You know, they must have just changed the internet.
Yeah, this is your lucky 13.
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah, 13. This year, so we've had 12 winners.
Yes.
All right. So, like I was going to say, CJ, when we one of the emails, I put out the full accounting of where, you know, how all the money's being divvied up. And we did take $400 out for the plaque, and that's how much it costs. Okay. It's $400.
So minus $400, but are you in possession of the remainder of the
funds? I am. Well, it's not stuck under my bed cushions, CJ. It's in a bank account, right where it's been for probably the last 13 years. Although I would say I think when we first started this, there wasn't Venmo, so I was either collecting cash or checks.
Yeah, that's way too
probably
much.
Cash.
Yeah, but it wasn't 100 people though,
and it also wasn't $425. I think we started at $100, and
like eight
I
guys.
Probably just collected cash.
Yeah,
I don't even remember, and I think I did. I think I remember putting it in my sock drawer on the bottom and holding on to it, just like it,
if I knew that my entry fee and everyone else's entry fees were sitting at the bottom of the sock drawer, I would do everything in my power to not win the tournament.
It's clean socks, not dirty socks.
They're your socks.
Okay. Well, anyway, they were nice and safe there.
Oh, God.
But you know what? Whether it's... I'm sure I started with like $1,000 or whatever we have now, $42,000. Believe me, it's not something I want to have. It just serves a purpose because we have to have the money in to commit the people to playing.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at how people don't honor commitments when they haven't paid for it. And sometimes even when they have paid for it. So it all depends on how much $425 means to you. By the way, shout out to our golf committee chairman, Justin Adelson, whose birthday was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
I was able to have a little birthday drink with him before he went off to his meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, I came in for a few minutes just to say hi and wish him a happy birthday.
I didn't even know it was his birthday.
Yeah, he was... Oh, no one knew, but then on, I think you're on the Young Guns text thread.
Yeah, not really.
Someone wished him, Steve Michael wished him a happy birthday on the thread, so then everyone knew.
So there's that. I also got some bad news for you, CJ. Not bad news. You're probably not going to be surprised to hear this, but $2,000 doesn't get you what it used to get you. So it looks as though, as you know, whoever wins the tournament the next year has to contribute money to the party. It used to be $500, now it's $400. And it's $1,600 plus. We take another $400 out of the pool and contribute $400 as well. $2,000, because right now we have 65 RSVPs, but I'm estimating 60 because there's always some people that drop. It's not enough. So everybody's going to get charged $20 that come to the party.
Okay.
So $20 gets you dinner, and I have to figure out, I've been working with Sandra Petty, if everybody gets charged 20, what else that's going to get us?
Yeah.
Because I without that, it gets us a very, very basic dinner that did not seem sufficient.
A continental breakfast.
Yeah, it didn't seem sufficient.
Fair.
So, it's also the Thursday of the Masters, and so I think I talked to Brian Smith. I think they'll be able to put on the Masters and the big TV in the ballroom.
Very nice.
That'll be nice. We could even start at 5:30 because I think the Masters goes till 7 on the weeknights.
Okay.
So that'll be good. And then supposedly the next day is opening day.
Yeah.
Supposedly. The 11th.
That's coming
right?
up.
Right? You're on the golf committee?
I think it's the 10th we're aiming for.
Oh, that's Thursday. So that's the day of the party.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be a day.
That'll be even better.
Yeah.
People can change, shower here, and drink in the lounge, and then up to the ballroom. That's a day, CJ.
Yeah. And I feel like... I feel like if it's a little chilly out that day, you know, maybe we could build a nice fire with all the trees we've taken down.
But I think they've all been grounded up and hauled away.
Oh, okay.
It, you know, I've been walking the golf course. I got a couple observations on that. And I've already shared some of the trees that have been taken down. I did notice one day a company had come with a bunch of what looked to be like moving vans and taken a lot of the trees. So they must have an arrangement where they take it and do whatever with it. Mm. I don't know if they make it into firewood or... Look, there's got to be tons of different uses for these trees, right?
Yeah.
So we must either... I assume we either sold them or there's some arrangement where they take them because they want them. But most of those trees were taken away. The big ones, at least.
Okay.
And big branches, I guess, and all of that. So, yeah, you're not going to be able to do your fire, CJ. Great idea, but I don't think there's a lot of wood out there for your fire.
Right. Well, sometime I'll come up with an idea.
There continue to be more things taken down. You saw in the ninth hole. So, you know, I don't know if those were taken down or fell down, but there's two huge branches on the ground.
I didn't see
right
that.
Right near the green. And they don't look like they broke, so I think they took them down for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're clearing everything out. I walked by yesterday, and on the third hole where all the trees came down, they have grinded the stump. They've laid over sand, laid over dirt. So I don't know what they're going to let grow there, but...
Yeah. I will say, so with the trees gone and they're going to grow the grass up more, so it'll be like, I'm calling it fescue, but it might be called like waste area, whatever it's called.
Whatever it is, yep.
So I think that, so we talked about this in the last golf committee meeting, but I think that's going to lead to a lot of searching for balls.
Yes.
Which could be a pace of play plague.
Yes.
So Brian's actually calling New England PGA. I think that the proposal is going to be that day to day, you hit a ball in there. If you're looking for a minute or two, whatever it is, don't find it, you're going to drop the penalty stroke.
Okay. Basically, even though it won't be marked red?
We would play it as red.
Okay.
But then if we had the invitational, a tournament scenario, you got to go back and re-tee.
Okay. So that'll be a local rule that will be indicated depending on the tournament.
I think.
But you're thinking with regular play, it would be a drop.
That was the proposal. And I think that's good.
It's great. So you have a chance to look for it. But you're not going to go crazy looking for it.
Because you don't want to have... You come out here like on a Tuesday afternoon, you don't have to like go back and re-tee.
Right. No one's going to do that anyway. So.
Yeah.
But you could... I guess everybody could just get used to hitting a provisional if it looks like they went in that crap over there.
No one ever hits a provisional.
So, I mean, you're going to have to if we're playing it as a lost ball, right?
Yeah. Unrelated, I think that Titleist deal is still going where you buy 3 dozen.
Got it.
I
already got mine.
I got mine too.
Yeah. That's a great deal. But you know what? I thought it was exclusive to country clubs, but then I got it through my NES.
Oh, yeah.
So
totally.
It's a great idea by Titleist, but it's not that exclusive of an offer.
You know,
still took them up on it.
You're not special.
No, not special, CJ. None of us is special. We know that. Okay, so that's the party where we hope to have 60 to 65 people. Mm-hmm. And then maybe have even played golf that day. The other thing is we could certainly, I'm thinking about as we get into next week and into April, starting to schedule my May matches. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
We can start to look at it. Hopefully we have good weather and we can get going. So I am excited about the fact that pretty much all the legwork is done and the party kind of culminates that, and then we move on.
All right.
Are you ready for the season, CJ? Is your team ready? Your team of, what do you call your names? Master Imploders?
Master Exploder.
Master Imploder. Might Master be better.
Well, I think that's indicated by our combined handicap.
And your handicap is what now? Where are you?
11 something.
All right, so you're up from your...
Oh, thank goodness.
And plus also, we're not playing 12-month low anymore, so...
That's huge.
The other thing I wanted to tell you about...
11-4.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about walking the course and an observation I had, which leads to a observation that I'm thinking about. I walked the course yesterday, and I talked to Brian Smith about something else yesterday, and I mentioned to him that I think that allowing people to play this early with temp tees is a awful idea, because there were so many divots out there in the fairways that I walked, because they're not going to heal, right? They're not going to grow, at least not now.
Yeah.
And it was really, I was the 18th hole, and you can almost tell where they put the temporaries, because there was an area where you were hitting from the tee box to the hole that was just pockmarked with divots. Because everybody's walking out there just with their, they don't have any sand to fill, right? They have nothing to fill. They're not replacing.
That's all fine with me.
Yeah, it doesn't like look good.
It's not like we're at a $24,000 a year club.
It's not a good idea. So I'm hoping, look, I'm just one guy that gave an opinion, but Brian did agree with me. He thought that Ben was just trying to, you know, appease the membership by opening early. I gather Concord isn't doing it, and a lot of courses won't do temporary greens, and hopefully they don't reopen it. The weather's kind of crappy this week. It's going to rain, I think, tomorrow and Saturday. Yeah. It was nice for whoever got a chance to swing, but it just doesn't make any sense. It's just going to hurt the course. Yeah. So hopefully they wait and just open it for real. But given that, it also dawned on me, and I want your opinion on this, in general, why can't we always play up in the fairway? And even like the pros, why do you have to be penalized in a playing down situation to be in someone else's divot who didn't clean it? That makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just one of those things where it can be a slippery slope on even like what counts as a divot. What if it's like a place that like a goose chewed out?
Understood. So I guess, are you agreeing with my point? I think
amateurs should play it off.
I had a thought that we could play our tournament up in the fairway.
Okay.
I mean, why not, right?
Why not? We make the rules for the tournament.
The key is, yes, it's a local rule, just like you said, they're going to make local rules. And we'll play it as a drop. We'll play it as red over there.
I'm pretty sure I see James Anderson nodding in approval.
he wants to play up everywhere, though, CJ. Yeah. It's different. Right, and he wants to call every ball that he finds his.
Okay, so is this official? The Avid Cup 2025 playing up in the fairway?
Well, I just kind of threw it at you. Do you want time to think about it, or are you good with it?
I think we should play it up in the fairway.
I think we should play it up in the fairway.
Yeah.
I just think it creates too many issues. Because also, unlike probably with the pros, you know, caddies are pretty careful about cleaning divots and all. We don't have that here, as you know. And it would be a shame for someone to be on 16, you know, in need of a good shot to stay in a match and be sitting in a divot. And you know, inevitably people take it out anyway and just make sure no one's looking. So why don't we just do it, you know?
All right.
Brian Smith is going to spin in his head's going to spin because he hates playing the ball up.
Did you
almost
say
why.
Spin in his grave?
I almost did. He might this way kill him.
Yeah, he started calling his office the grave.
No, well, it is during the winter. I hate to tell you. When I go in there in the wintertime, it's pretty morose in there. Yeah. But I think we're going to agree on that. And when we put out the email today, we will announce that.
All right.
Playing up. You're good with that.
I'm good with that.
We will follow whatever the golf committee and golf shop rules are going to be on the new areas and whether it's going to be a, you know, a red or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know where else we have to think about it. Like, I don't know what they're going to do in the seventh hole where they took all those trees down. They're going to let that grass grow?
I don't think so. That would be hard. That would just absolutely slow down the front nine, like, more than it already is.
Yes.
If that's all grass.
Well, also, it would make that hole significantly more difficult.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people go in that area.
At least half the time I play that hole, I'm over there.
And a lot of times guys hit those trees and they bounce right back into the fairway. You're not going to get that anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anybody has even a fade, it's going to end up over there.
If that's long grass, I think in a tournament situation, I'm hitting an iron off the tee.
You're just accepting three to go.
Accepting a three-shot hole.
I agree.
A drive doesn't put me within two shots most of the time anyway. When it does, it feels great.
Yeah, and it certainly helps your chances on that hole. The other problem with that hole is in a stroke play tournament, and in a lot of times in match play, that if you're only getting a few shots, that's one of the holes.
Yeah.
So that you play that conservative, you're giving away one of your shots, theoretically. You can always make a par by getting over in three, but it has to be a pretty damn good approach shot.
I think if you play that hole smart, it's not a tough bogey to get.
Well, no, but I'm saying if you want to make par. I mean, if you said like you do and hit two irons to get to, you know, if you can hit two irons to get to within
90 yards,
and you can hit a good wedge and make a putt and make a par. I've done it. I'm sure you've done it before. It's just everybody would rather get over in two and have an opportunity to make par with two putts.
But when I'm trying to make par the traditional way or make a birdie, I am so often making a seven.
Yes. Yep, there's more bad scores than good on that hole.
Yeah.
So I do think that what they do on that right side is going to have a significant impact on how people play that hole.
Yeah.
But if it's cut down there, it's much more wide open than it used to be. And there's a decent chance that if you're right over there, that you can still go after the green because now it's all clear.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. We'll see. There may be other parts of the course that this affects. I don't know. It's walking it and playing it are two different things, you know. But it does look like they've created airways. I think that was the whole idea, is to allow wind to get through more of the course and dry things up more quickly.
Yeah.
All right. What else, CJ? Are you officially the president of the events committee or whatever it
what?
Is? What is your role on the golf committee this year?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm president of the MGA.
MGA?
Yeah.
The one where we still have $50 that we put in one time?
That's a good question.
By the way, whatever happened to that money? Who has that money? Where did that go?
Hold on, I'm checking my bank account. So, I mean, it's one of those things where we can make of it whatever we want to make of it. And I think that this year, I think the big push, and I think one big push is plenty, is for this, like, elevated member event. That's going to be June 6th, 7th.
So you're moving it.
June 6th, 7th.
Okay.
Yeah, because the week before, I remember we were sitting here, there were like 5-6 people in here, and every single person couldn't make the original scheduled date.
So the original date. So it's Memorial Day, the next weekend, and then that week.
Yeah,
and
so
then
that one. Exactly. Right. And it's a Friday, Saturday instead of Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, smart.
Justin's taking lead on that. He's already talking about, like, the gifts and stuff to give for it.
He loves that part.
Yeah, loves that part. Yeah, so it's. I think it'll be cool. I'm planning on playing in it.
And it's going to be a 9-hole.
It's going to be 27, it's match play, 27 hole.
Friday,
so 3 9-hole matches, 2 9-hole matches on Saturday, and then
so,
I think a
so
shootout.
So the Friday is going to be an early, is it going to be a shotgun?
I imagine so.
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, with that many people.
And then, yeah, Friday night, stag night, yeah,
wow.
And so it'll be good.
So that's really going to be replicative of the Invitational.
Yeah, and I would love to get a Calcutta going for it.
So, CJ, I would just suggest, where that sounds like it's a commitment of, for a lot of guys, a day off Friday and telling your wife you're going to be out alone Friday night, that the sooner you get this out, the better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Totally. I mean, people have to plan on this stuff.
Yeah.
Not everybody's you and me.
Well, I think the grand vision on it is ultimately in years to come, like to continue to grow it, have, you know, spouses come Friday night, that sort of stuff. But I think it's like, let's take steps to get there instead of trying to leap all the way all at once, which I think is a good idea.
Do you even want it? I mean,
because is
throwing in a stag dinner maybe too aggressive in year one right off the bat?
I don't think so. I think it's not,
will it be part of like the cost of it?
Yeah, and they're trying to keep the cost.
Or could it be optional?
They're trying to keep the cost lower. You know, I think, you know, a couple $100 instead of, you know, making it like thousands or anything like that. So certainly not invitational level pricing, but in terms of the golf, pure golf part, I think it's going to be fantastic.
You'll see, you'll have the golf, you'll get a gift, you'll have a dinner, there'll be a lunch, I assume, that it'll be like a box lunch with the 27 holes. Sounds great. It sounds great. It sounds like...
Yeah, and
it sounds, you know, like a lot to 20, pull off.
Yeah, 2030, we'll have fresh carved sushi right on the third tee and all that kind of stuff, but...
2030. Okay, CJ. I'll see you then. Yeah. I'll see you then for the member guest.
Yeah.
Okay. What else we got? Anything else? Well, oh, you told me, and then a lot of people asked me if you were going to follow through with it, that you were going to create a website for the Cornish Cup. Are you doing that? And is it going to be blocked by the shot expense?
Not that it's going to get blocked. Why do it if it's going to get blocked? We'll see. We'll see. I can do it. You know, if people are actually asking about it, that's a good sign that it would be worthwhile doing, putting my time into it. I'm going to wait until after April 19th to start thinking about that stuff. Because right now, I'm just at capacity for time.
Okay.
We're 23 days away from the 250th celebrations, and I'm just like up to my ears and stuff to do.
But once that's done, and then I'm sure there'll be a little bit of cleanup. But then, is that?
That'll be your obligation. I'll still have a lot of stuff because I'm the treasurer for it. So there's gonna be a lot of expenses that come out and I have to help process and stuff. But that's like, you know, that's kind of like stamping stuff and just grindy work, which is different from, like, right now I'm having to do a bunch of Zoom meetings and like organize events and like allocate resources and like a lot more logistics and like actually like thinking about how stuff's going to fit all together. So yeah, I'll have a pretty big relief after April 19th. And then we'll see how much time I have in my hands.
All right. Well, I don't think that's a massive endeavor. I think in general, it'd be better if there was more clarity on the Cornish Cup and how you, like what the point values are, how you can get points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just
totally
seemed like there was a little less clarity last year, and I spoke to Brian about that. Not a criticism. Just I think you'd get more interest in all the tournaments if people understood this Cornish Cup.
Yeah, we could do like how ESPN for like big games does. They're like, oh, we ran, you know, 10,000 simulations to see who will win the World Series this year. I could do like 10,000 simulations to see who will win the Cornish Cup.
Well, that sounds more troublesome than just making a website.
Yeah.
So whatever, you know, you like doing that stuff, whatever.
Yeah. The Monte Carlo simulation says Pat Doyle is going to win the Cornish Cup this year.
So you'll have to fix the bugs, I guess. anything else, CJ? We have Gary's Lounge tonight. We're going to put out an email on that. It's always nice when we have guys come. It's been a spotty winter for that. We had some nights. We had one night where there were like 30 guys here. And then some nights where there's only 6 or 7, but someone always shows up. This will be like once we open the season, then everybody just comes here when they come here. So
yeah,
so this will probably be the last one. This week or next week will probably be the last one.
Yeah.
But Gary's back from India and he's ready to go. He loves to have people come to his place. And also, CJ, you come at 4:00 today and you can watch the opening Red Sox game. You can't. We don't have Nesson.
Devastating.
You can't get the McGavin Cup on the website.
Wait, is baseball live now? Is there a game like right now on?
Probably is. Yeah, probably. But you can't get, maybe they resolved their Nesson issue, I don't know, but I don't think they get Nesson.
Oh, yeah, so 3:00, Brewers at Yankees is the first game today.
Okay.
I mean, the Dodgers already had a series against the Cubs in Japan.
Yes.
So Dodgers are 2-0. I saw that. So typically, a team will be favored at most like a run and a half in Vegas.
A run and a half. Yeah,
run and a half.
Normally work on the money lines for baseball?
Well, just going by spread, run and a half is kind of like a typical, like, pretty solid favorite. So I was reading that the Dodgers are going to typically be favored by 2.5 runs in all their games this year, because they're projected to, like, because they got even better.
Team. They're a great team.
Yeah.
Kind of makes it, it's not a lot of fun when you have a team that's just so loaded, you know, especially if you're in that division, I would think. But in the Red Sox division, it's wide open.
Yeah, I saw
the Yankees got just decimated between free agency losses and then Gerrit Cole getting hurt. They're in trouble.
Yeah, the ESPN is predicting the Red Sox to win the East. So.
Yeah, that's a bit aggressive. I mean, I need to see it before I believe it.
Yeah.
And they've done some things, and I think there's renewed interest to some extent. But I'm more like they lost me for that 5-year stretch after Mookie Betts left, and I'll need to see it before I get too interested.
Who do you think misses a greater percentage of games for the season? Alex Bregman or Stefan Diggs?
Probably Diggs. I'm not even sure he's going to start the season.
He's been hurt the last few years.
He had a torn ACL and he's 32 years old.
Yeah. Good signing.
I wasn't excited about it. I don't even know if he starts the season. And he's not the guy I would have signed. I mean, they had chances on guys like Cooper Kupp and Davante Adams and other guys that I would rather have seen.
Yeah.
But you had to get somebody. He was one of the last guys available. So that'll remain to be seen.
That always goes well when you're signing people because you have to get somebody and you get the last guy.
But that's what, when you're a bad, look, CJ, you've been a Lions fan. You know what it's like to be a bad team. When you're a bad team, unless you can build through the draft, it just doesn't fix itself.
Yeah.
I thought you were making a mistake when you traded Stafford for Goff. Well, they haven't won anything with Goff.
Yeah, I don't think Goff is that good.
But that was back then. That was all about the Rams, not the Lions. And then the Lions, because they had drafted so well, became a good team.
Yeah.
So it's not going to work. It's not going to happen for the Patriots for another 3-4 years, in my mind, if ever. And by then Drake May will be off his rookie contract. Now you're going to be paying him, assumably, big money if he's good. And, you know, so it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for the Pats.
They'll probably trade Joe Milton to somebody. He'll end up being amazing.
Yeah, right. He'll be the next Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And we'll be like, why can't we get guys like that?
Yeah.
Alex Bregman, frankly, Trevor Story is going to get hurt before Alex Bregman. That whole left side of the infield is in trouble.
No one's taking bets on Trevor Story missing games.
And then what are you going to do if Alex Bregman gets hurt? You're going to tell Rafael Devers he has to be the third baseman again?
You know what? Bregman's only 30.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he turns 31 in 3 days. But he's actually younger than I thought he was.
I would kill to be 31 again. I mean, it's not that old.
Yeah, no, but I was thinking, for some reason in my mind, because it seems like he's been around forever, I was thinking he was like 34, 35.
But how about Story? Is he around the same age?
Let's see.
Because Story's going to get hurt first. I don't think there's any question about that.
He's 32.
So, but, you know, if Story gets hurt, it's going to open the door for one of these kids they have, like that kid Mayer, because I think he plays shortstop.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm just curious, if Alex Bregman gets hurt, and Devers has been sitting on his fat ass DHing, are they going to tell him he's going to be the third baseman?
I don't know.
He will gain weight very quickly this year by just being the DH. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Just crushing hot dogs on the bench while he's in the field?
I just think that they get into that mindset that all I'm doing is hitting. He's never been a good base runner to begin with. He's going to get worse. And he's just going to, his value is going to be get up there and mash the ball, which he's very capable of doing.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys, if he was like David Ortiz and he could embrace it, he could be really good at it. Just focus on hitting, but he was never a very good defensive player. And he just has come across as a little bit pouty with this whole thing. So we'll see. we'll see. I mean, I think, like you said, they're better. And I am looking forward to seeing someone how they play, but
this will be interesting game. So tonight we have Tigers at Dodgers. We have Scooble against Snell.
They're already playing interdivision. What do they call it? Interleague. Yeah. Well, that's weird.
Twins at Cardinals.
Yeah, it's all Astros. I think the Sox open with Texas.
Yeah, they always open in Texas. It feels like.
But does it? Yeah, maybe. And then you're going opening day next week? I'm going opening day next Friday.
Oh, I'm not going.
Yeah? I got tickets, and I didn't get them. I was invited to go, and I'm like, all right, I haven't gone in 4 or 5 years, so I'm going to go.
I've been to the game in a while.
This is fine. I mean, opening day's kind of fun, and I think I got, like, seats up in the pavilion or something like that, so it's worth going.
Okay.
Anyway. All right, CJ, do we have anything else? We're happy about the Celtics. CJ, I would have bet my life. And I did. I bet a lot of money that the Celtics were going to lose that second game of the back-to-back on the West Coast trip. They'd beaten whoever they beat the first game.
You know, the Phoenix
was a good
game,
win. Yeah. No, Phoenix was last night. Whoever they played first was a good win, but they were playing the very next night against Sacramento, who is sitting in second to last place in making the playoffs. And I'm like, here's a team that needs to win at home against a team that's traveling West Coast and just won the night before. And the Celts go ahead and beat them by like 25. And then they come back out last night and beat Phoenix, who is also fighting for the playoffs, by 30. What's going on with the Celtics?
I mean, they were kind of playing for the playoffs this year.
But they cannot move, I don't think, up or down.
No.
I don't think they can catch Cleveland, and no one's catching them.
No,
so they are locked in where they are.
Yeah, and that's fine. And that's,
they got 9 games left. Tatum just twisted his ankle. I mean, they got to be thinking like that.
Does anyone in the East scare you at all?
No. Not even Cleveland.
No. I think...
It's like, it used to be... Remember, was it last year where Milwaukee was like, you know, we got to worry about Milwaukee because maybe they get healthy and they got all their guys. They're not there anymore. Indiana is not that good. The Knicks are not good. And Cleveland had a good season, but they're not going to be, you know.
I think the team that scares me the most is OKC.
Uh-huh.
Just because the matchup there.
And let's get to the finals.
The matchup there is really tough, but
yeah.
Hey, you make the finals. That's great.
Yeah, and I think number one, I don't think they're going to play Cleveland in the conference championship. I think someone's going to beat Cleveland along the way. I'm not sure who, but I don't think they're playing Cleveland to get to the finals. And number two, don't be surprised that they're not playing OKC in the finals. It just works out that way. But I think the Celtics are that much better than everybody else, where they feel like the odds-on favorite to get there.
Do you know the current favorites in the NBA?
Well, the Celts have to be the favorite. If they aren't, there's something wrong.
The Thunder are plus 175. Celtics are plus 190.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's silly.
And then you got Cleveland plus 500. Lakers plus 1,500.
OKC thing, I mean... Pedigree matters, you know. Playoff experience matters.
Do you know the Masters odds?
I gather that we're in good shape with our Rory. Do we want to buy out on Rory McIlroy right now?
We could.
Can we make money?
We would make money at that, yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
So we got him at plus 1,000.
Right.
He's at plus 600 now.
Wow.
Scheffler plus 490. And then...
I figured he would have jumped to be the odds on favorite.
I mean, Scotty owns the Masters right now.
He hasn't been playing well lately.
Yeah, but...
So it's just him and then Rory? Or is there anybody in between them?
They're at the top.
Rory's playing and well then, right now.
So Rory plus 600, and then it goes to Oberg and Rahm at plus 1,500. Then Brochambeau and Morikawa at plus 1,700. And then on from there, Shoffley, Matsuyama.
Hovland? He just won Valspar.
Hovland's plus 4,400. That's not a bad.
Good. Yeah, bet. I might throw a little money on that.
Yeah.
I mean, he just had a good. Everybody was complaining about the Valspar. That's Innsbruck. Did you go to the Innsbruck trip? No, you didn't.
No.
Everybody was complaining about that. that course.
They should have played the North course.
Yeah, right. No, the South course. The
South course.
That's terrible. Yeah, the Masters, looking forward to it. Rooting for a guy.
Yeah.
Rooting for a guy. But I might throw some money on Hovland. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, 4,100. That's
throw a couple
there.
Hundred on that?
I think I will.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
I will. Gotta have a couple dogs in the fight.
Let's sign off and make some bets.
All right. All right, TJ, sign us out.
All right. Peace, love, and reciprocals while we can get them.